Hallelujah. Matthew 26, would you look there with me this morning in the Word of God? Matthew, the 26th chapter. We're going to take a few minutes this morning and just talk about the God of another chance. The God of another chance, not a second chance, because some of us need more than a second chance. Sometimes we mess up more than once, and we need God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's help. In this chapter 26, also in chapter 27, is the account of two individuals who failed, and they failed really, really big. Judas is the first one. The second one is Peter. Both of them failed miserably. But one chose the path of repentance, the path of being restored, the path of coming back to God and to trusting the Lord to lead him back to repentance. Judas, of course, was the betrayer. And even though he was remorseful over what he did, he never turned back to God. He never turned back in full repentance back to the Lord. Let's read here in Matthew 26 and verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city, and to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house and with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready for the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." And we'll stop reading right there. Both of these disciples, starting with Judas, who is known as the betrayer, but the reality is that Judas was likely a very trusted disciple. He was the one that was given the responsibility of the treasury, carried the bag, and so likely was, at least in the beginning of his relationship with Jesus, was the trusted one and dependable and trustworthy. Somewhere, we don't know exactly when or how. We just know that his heart turned. His heart changed. As a matter of fact, in another of the accounts, I think it's in John's Gospel, the account says that as soon as Judas said, "Lord, is it me? Is it me?" And he knew that it was. He'd already sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And it says, I think it's in the Gospel of John, that Satan entered into his heart and that he went out from that place and sought for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Now, all we have here is these two contrasting individuals, and one finding mercy and grace, and the other one being sad and remorseful, but never turning back to God. It's possible to mess up. Every one of us have made mistakes, some bigger than others. We have failed. And sometimes in our failures, we can't seem to recover. We can't seem to see that there's hope. It is the enemy that attacks your mind and convinces you that God is not a God of grace and he's not a God of mercy, because we know that the Bible is very clear that God provides an opportunity for whosoever will to come back to the Lord, to be restored to the Lord, and you can come back. So if there's any of you here in this service this morning and you have strayed away from the voice of the Lord, you have walked away from that place of obedience to the Lord, and you failed. Maybe you have utterly failed. I mean, you've really messed up, and today you just don't feel like you're worthy to come back to the Lord or for God to show grace and mercy to you. Well, this service and this text is for you today. It's a reminder to us of how the mercy of God can't even be measured. It is greater than anything that you can ever comprehend. You and I, you know, in our human weakness, when someone betrays us or someone fails us, lets us down, disappoints us, and that we have a hard time finding room for forgiveness for that person. That's the frailty of our humanity. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to get beyond that. But that's not the Lord at all. He is a God of mercy. And if you failed him once, or maybe twice, or maybe you failed him several times, and you're here this morning in this service, and you have really messed up, you have really failed the Lord, I want you to be convinced today. I want you to understand that God is a God of another chance. He wants to give you another chance to come back to him. He wants to give you another chance to be restored to him. And not only that, the plan of God for your life. Some have gifts and callings and ministries that God has given to you, but because of your failure, you think, I could never, ever be that. I could never, ever do that. I can't fulfill that. But I want you to know that God is a God who can still work in your life. He can still use you. He can still work through your life and do great and mighty things in you if you will make yourself available to the Lord. Judas is a betrayer. He's under condemnation. He is remorseful for what he has done, but he chose the wrong pathway. He chose the wrong pathway. And the decisions that he made, Satan entered into his heart, and he just follows through. He continues in this pathway of betrayal and deception. The Bible says that when he comes with a group of Roman soldiers to come to arrest Jesus, that he says to them, I will let you know who he is, and I'll signify that when I go and I give him a kiss. It's one thing to be betrayed, to be betrayed under the guise of love is even a horrible, much more horrible betrayal. And that's what he did. But notice that Jesus responds to him when he comes and gives him the kiss. He says to him, he calls him a friend. Jesus is still extending his love, his compassion to Judas. There's still time for him to repent. There's still time for him to make a change and to turn back to the Lord if he would just do so. Jesus is arrested, and you know how things, all the things that happened and the terrible things that happened, even though Jesus still calls him a friend, he betrays the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that Judas, when he sees that Jesus is arrested, he comes, he's overwhelmed with grief over it. He's sorrowful, he's remorseful. He even throws the money back to the money changers, gives it back to them, and wants things to be changed and reversed, but they're not. And even though that he weeps and he cries over the failure that he made, the Bible says that he goes out and he hangs himself. It's the most horrible, tragic death of a man that walked with Jesus, who witnessed his miracles, who walked with Jesus, who heard the teachings of the kingdom of God. He was right there in his inner circle, that close to Jesus, and his life ended in such tragedy. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way, that you end your life in a tragic way like Judas did. But instead, Peter, who made a failure that was almost as bad, and failed the Lord. Let's read in verse 31. It says, Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. The word offended there comes from a Greek word that is scandalizo. We get our English word scandal or scandalized. Jesus said to them, you're all going to come under this scandal of Jesus being crucified and you're going to face it all. And Jesus predicted what was going to happen. You're all going to scatter. You're all going to scatter for fear of your own life. But Peter said in verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I mean, he's feeling pretty tough, pretty strong. All these other guys around you here, they're weak. But they're probably going to, they may fall prey to that, but not me. I'll never betray you. Jesus saying unto him, verily, I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. But Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all his disciples. They were all saying, and Peter is leading the way, saying, I would never, ever deny you. I would never, ever do that. Jesus knew his heart. He didn't even know his own heart. Peter is a denier. And not only is he a denier, but he denied the Lord in such a public way, as you know the story, that he denied the Lord in a very public betrayal of the Lord. And when he did, when he betrayed the Lord, he turned away from all of those that were around him and simply said to them, I don't know who this man is. I don't know who he is. Verse 69. Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied with an oath. To deny with an oath is like you and I, if we would say, I swear to God. No, that was his oath. I swear under heaven. And that's what he was doing. He denied with an oath. I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Now that's how far that Peter has fallen in his denial. This happened in just a matter of a few hours after he had boldly said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll die for you. I will never deny you. But now we see Peter in completely failing, completely caving in to the pressure. Just like Jesus said, you're going to come under the scandal of all of this, and you're going to cave under all of the pressure. And even though Peter said, I won't, he did. He did, and he failed miserably. He failed miserably. In this same chapter, two men that failed God in such a terrible way, one ended in such tragedy, but the other one, the Bible says that when he heard that rooster crow, and he remembered what Jesus had said, you're going to deny me three times before that rooster crows. And that's exactly what happened when he realized that surely he had done exactly as Jesus had said. The Bible says that he goes out and he weeps bitterly. I mean, this is a grown man that has found him a place somewhere, no doubt in that around the corner, in an alley somewhere, and he's just weeping. He's crying. He's sobbing. He is broken, and he really has failed the Lord, and he understands, I have desperately failed the Lord. But there was hope for Judas, and there was hope for Peter, but somehow Peter found his way to forgiveness. Peter found his way to being restored back to the Lord. You know, John, in the Gospel of John chapter 21, really that chapter is a lot about John's restoration, a lot about what happened to him in being restored back to the Lord. Remember, three women came to the tomb, and there was there at the tomb a young man in a long white robe, and those ladies were afraid and recognized that truly this something has happened, something miraculous has happened. And that angel of the Lord says, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Go tell his disciples. Peter was one of the disciples. But the angel of the Lord, that messenger from God, recognized that Peter is way down. He's feeling like he's worthless. He's feeling like, I can't be accepted. I can't be restored back to what God wanted for me. And he is down as low as you can get. But the message came to him, go tell the disciples and Peter. Letting him know that God wanted to restore him, personally wanted to speak to him, wanted to give him a hope. Amen. The Bible says that John and Peter run to the tomb. John stops outside the tomb to look in, but Peter runs on inside to see, because somehow he is thinking in his mind, if he's alive, maybe there's hope. Maybe there's hope for me. Maybe if this thing can be turned around, my failure might be able to be turned around and I might be able to be restored. Maybe he will give me another chance. I can get back into right relationship to the Lord. In this chapter 21 of the Gospel of John, the Bible says that Simon Peter, verse 3, said unto them, I'm going to go fishing. I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered the ship, that they might, but that night they caught nothing. Now this verse is Peter saying, I don't know if there's any hope for me, because I'm just going to go back to my previous occupation. Remember when Jesus called them? It was right on the Sea of Galilee. It was right at the ship, maybe the exact same ship, we don't know. But he said, I'm going to go fishing. This is really Peter saying, I give up. I quit. I'm just going to go back to what I was before I met Jesus. And there's no hope for my life to be turned around. I'm just going to go back. And that's what Peter attempted to do. Do you understand that if you turn your back on the plan of God for your life, you're going to influence others that are going to follow you? It says that the other disciples that were with him said, well, we'll just go with you. They were giving up on their call. They were giving up on their purpose that God had for their life. So they fished that night, but the Bible says they caught nothing. They caught nothing. You see, without Christ, without following the will of God and the plan of God, every effort that you put forth is going to be failure. You're going to try, and you're going to try, and you're going to try, but you're going to come up empty-handed because you're trying to run away from the purpose and the plan of God. You may have failed the Lord, maybe more than once, but I want to encourage you this morning that you can be restored. You can get back to God. You can get back on track with the call of God and the purpose of God for your life. So don't give up on the plan of God for your life, whatever that he's calling you to do. Amen. I like the phrase, failure isn't final. Amen. Failure isn't final. You may have messed up. You may have failed the Lord. You may have got off track from the purpose of God and the call of God. But I want you to know this morning, today, this very day, you can get back to God, back to His purpose, back to His calling. He can restore you, and He can do something with your life if you'll just put your life back in the hands of the Lord. Here's a wonderful thing about this story in John 21 is that Jesus is on the shore. And even though they've had a night of no success catching fish, Jesus yells from the shore and says, "Cast your net on the other side." And this is reminiscent of what he had done early in the early days of what he had done for those disciples when they recognized who he was because he had power. And when another time when he had said, "Cast your net on the other side," and they brought in that great catch of fishes, so much so that their boats were sinking. And they were remembering how they were called and what God did and how that he revealed, Jesus revealed himself as the Son of God to them that day. And he tells them to catch. They put their nets down after another night of failure, and this time they catch 153 fish. And John says, "Surely this must be Jesus. This is Jesus. This must be the resurrected Lord." This is, I think, the third time that he makes an appearance to the disciples. And now he is saying to them, "Cast your net on the other side." And he reveals his divinity. He reveals his mighty power to them. And those disciples who are going back to their old job, to their old task, instead of staying with the calling that Jesus had given to them to follow after him and be fishers of men. It's interesting to me that when they recognize that it's Jesus, that Peter is the one that jumps out of the boat and swims to shore. The rest of them, it says, came in little boats. They came in small boats, but Peter, he's anxious. He's thinking, could it be? That this is the Son of God that's going to restore me, that's going to forgive me, that's going to help me to get back to where I need to be. When he gets there, Jesus already has the food on the fire. He already has, and this is symbolic of fellowship restored. Fellowship restored. Come back. Come and see. Come and eat. Come and dine and receive from the Lord. Fellowship can be restored when you come back to the Lord. And then Jesus sets Peter aside and he asks him the question, and he asks him three different times. John 21:15. "Simon, thou son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he saith, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." Then the third time, verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my lambs." Now, why? I know that these verses have been dissected and preached on, and a lot of things have been said about them, but I just want to say this. Jesus said it three times. He wanted Peter to say it three times because Peter had publicly denied him three times. And so he just keeps coming saying, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Three times he asked him that question because he was a denier and he wanted him to publicly declare, "Yes, I do love you, Lord." Then he says, "Feed my sheep." Basically, he was saying to them, "Then get at the task that I've called you to do. Then do it. Do it. Do the calling. Fulfill your calling." And Jesus restored him to ministry. How successful was this restoration? Well, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that Peter was the one that stood up. He was the first anointed preacher who stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches that first New Testament message that initiates the church. The church is born because Peter preaches under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it's a statement that God restores, God works, God moves, and God used Peter in such a mighty way. Praise God. Satan is the one that lies to us, convinces us that there's not forgiveness, that there's no hope, that we can't be restored. Some folks have messed up, and I've talked to people many times who say, well, there's just no way I could ever get back to where I was with the Lord. I can't get back to that right relationship or that close fellowship with the Lord. You're listening to the wrong voice. You need to listen to the voice of the Lord, the God who will restore you, not two times, but whatever shape you're in today. Maybe it's the third or the fourth or the fifth time that you have failed. Peter was an utter failure. And he could have done just like Judas. Just give up and went out and hung himself. But Peter kept looking to God for hope. He kept looking to the Lord for an answer to be restored. And certainly on this day in John chapter 21, Peter is restored. And he becomes that strong rock, that strong leader of the church that God mightily anointed and used in the establishing of the church. So never, ever believe that what the enemy has done to trip you up and to stop you. Sometimes folks backslide and forsake the Lord and the things of the Lord and the call of God. But you need to be reminded here today that God is the God of another chance for you. His grace is just as powerful today. His mercy is just as real today for you if you'll reach out to Him in faith. If you'll believe that He's the God of restoration, a God who can bring you back into fellowship with Him. Praise God. Three times Peter denied, three times he asked him to confirm his love, and then he gives to him the calling. Actually, the very next verse, he lets him know, you're going to have a ministry. I'm paraphrasing here. You're going to go forth in ministry, and you're going to be a martyr for my cause, for my purpose. Amen. And he never flinched. He never flinched. He was ready to do the will of God. He was ready to follow the will of the Lord. Isaiah said it this way, Isaiah 43 and 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Amen. Have you heard anybody say before, well, I'll forgive them, but I'm never going to forget what they did to me? That's not really forgiveness, is it? It is the grace of God. It's God's mercy that comes to us and helps us to forgive and to be restored and even to forget. And the scripture says there in Isaiah that I'm the God that will not only forgive you, but I'll forget all your transgressions, all the things that you've done against me. I'll take care of that. I'll cleanse you. I'll restore you. And I won't hold those or won't remember them against you ever again. Lamentation 5 and 21. Turn thou unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Praise God. Do you understand that maybe it's been 5 years, 10 years, 20 years since you really had a close connection, a close walk with the Lord? It may have been a long time, and some of you may be thinking, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm just not worthy. I've messed up. I've failed of the Lord. I'm not worthy. Well, He's the God who can renew your days as of old. Amen. He can change things for you. He can restore you and forgive you and work in your life in a mighty way. He is a God of another chance. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for the hope that we have today in your word. The confidence that we have that you will forgive us, that you will restore us. And Lord, you can take and you can put all the pieces back together again and use us for your glory. And we thank you for that. Let us pray, Lord, if there are those in our service today, Lord, that they have come to that place where they feel like they have failed and there's no real hope for them to be restored. Lord, I just pray that your love, your grace would be made real to them today, and that you'd help them to see that you're a God with arms open wide, and you will forgive and you will restore. and you will work mightily. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's stand together.